Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Elevated Network presents A Time for Justice. That's right, A Time for Justice is a show on the Elevated Places Network, and we're so excited to have you all as guests and listeners tonight. This show discusses legal and current events in a roundtable discussion of legal minds. We discuss this country's centuries-long failure to apply, uphold, and enforce the laws, and the overall failure of the legal system to give justice, and the negative impacts that these failures have had on Black people and their Black families. Ultimately, we want fair dealing. We want justice under the law. But all too often, this is not the actions that we see. Our guest tonight will not make those excuses or racist conduct often seen, which are really just distractions from the truth, which is the path to justice and equal protection. Let's talk about just, fair, and equitable solutions, which are in the best interest of the people. My name is Sister Pamela Muhammad, and I am your host. I'm an attorney, and generally we will focus on legal commentary just specifically. But tonight we're going to talk about something very important, and that is the making a business for yourself and how the law and business sometimes intertwine. And we want to really promote the idea of us making businesses for ourselves, because as we spoke on last week's show, we talked about uniting our efforts to give our youth a fair chance. And oftentimes we talk about the obstacles and the systematic oppression that we are facing as Black people. And one of the things that keep us from helping ourselves and our people is the ability to do for self and have our own business and have our own corporation. So tonight we're going to talk to two dynamic sisters. One of them is an attorney, and of course, as an attorney, she does business law. She's done business consultations, along with the other myriad of tasks that this sister has done during her time as an attorney. But we're also so pleased to have an actual business owner, another type of business owner, rather, and that's Sister Amina Muhammad. So let me go ahead and bring up our two guests. And so first I'm going to start off with Sister Queen Amina, is what we affectionately call her and how she is known. So Sister Queen Amina is a Limerick Park business owner. Queen Amina has been the business owner of Queen Amina's Cultural Clothing Store in Limerick Park, and that's in Los Angeles, California area. She's been the owner of this clothing store since 2009. According to a newspaper article on our sister, right, she's in the newspaper, very dynamic sister. But according to this article, the shop is tucked away on the southeast end of, I think it's Dingen Boulevard. and it's filled with gift items and colorful clothing and just all types of items that our sister has actually even designed some of those things. The shop was once called the Sisters Marketplace, as Sister Amina, she actually is a, she envisioned African art because her father was also a collector. And so last January, our sister, Queen Amina, was actually crowned the Queen of Leimert Park, and that was in 2020, and she became the president of the Leimert Park Village Merchants Association, and that's for a two-year term. Also, Anita mentioned that our sister is part of a, I think she did a major event where they did a big fashion show, and it is known as the, let me get that, I'm going to have to let her introduce that, but it was in Italy, and it's international. It's a really, really big event. It's the Torino Fashion Week, and she's going to tell us some things about that, but I'm going to go ahead and open up Sister Queen Amina's mic.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sister. How are you, ma'am?
Oh, by the grace of Allah, I'm doing fine, ma'am, and yourself?
I, too, am fine, ma'am, by Allah's grace and mercy. And thank you so much for joining us tonight on A Time for Justice. And I'll give you more time to share about yourself as well, Sister Queen Amina. Some of the things I shared with you, I just kind of wanted to get it started. So I'm going to now open up the mic for our sister, Barbara Muhammad, and that's Sister Attorney Barbara Muhammad. And our sister, she joins us quite often. We are so blessed to have her with us. She's such a wonderful attorney as well as being a beautiful, beautiful MGT. So as an attorney, I want to make sure we say attorneys are business owners too. And so we're going to talk about that as well. Sister Barbara is licensed to practice law in all of the courts of the state of New York, also in Washington, D.C., and in the United States Supreme Court. Her areas of practice have been criminal law, real estate law, family law, corporate law, bankruptcy, and domestic relations. Sister Barbara has been in the general practice of law since 1981, but prior to that, she worked in New York City's Department of Employment. She worked at in the district attorney's office, as well as working for MAS number 7. And so this is my beautiful, beautiful sister, and I want to go ahead and open up the mic for Sister Barbara. And let's get it started. Sister Barbara.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, wa alaikum salam, Sister Barbara. How are you, beloved?
I am awesome. All praises due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. All praises are due to Allah. And thank you so much for joining us tonight, Sister Barbara. And so I want to go ahead and get this topic started, law and making a business for yourself. And it was so very timely, and we just feel so blessed when we were looking at this week's Final Call, this week's Final Call newspaper, and one of the very first articles is entitled, Black Men Not Working, How Our Community Loses $50 billion to Joblessness, Incarceration, and Death. And so that is going to kind of tell us why, one of the reasons why. It's a survival issue, because as we've been taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that we have to build our own society. And as we'll go into that article, one of the ministers, I believe, out of Atlanta, Brother Abdul Sharif Muhammad, he talked about, you know, just this time that we're living in that's forcing us to have to really do for self. You know, in the article, it talked about how last year's unemployment rate among black men was 7.3 versus 3.4 for whites. It talked about the age-old problems of discrimination and lack of opportunity, joblessness, how it impacts black families. And, you know, all of this we know, you know, the job gaps between blacks and others, you know, that article talked about the racial and class bias which led to incarceration. And so then we know then that, you know, these are reasons why our joblessness is forcing us to really look at survival. I believe even the pandemic with these vaccines, you know, now being forced on jobs. I mean, that's just one of the most ridiculous scenarios we find ourselves in. We talked about the Supreme Court being faced with that issue. So I want to go ahead and open up this mic, and we're going to start off with the question of why do business for self? And Sister Queen Amina, I wanted to give you that opportunity, you know, because we'd like for you to get it started. Tell us about yourself. What made you do business for self, if you'd like to get us started, sis?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, sister. Actually,
thank you.
I can remember as a young girl, I would watch my father. He did have a job, but he also always was doing something to make money aside, right? And so that was my first introduction to being self-employed. You know, he had a party store at one time, and he always had different businesses, and he was always doing something to make money. And I grew up in Detroit, and in Detroit, there everyone in my neighborhood was, it was mostly 90% black-owned businesses. So I saw that as a child. So in actuality, my twin sister came out to California, and I was living in Florida at that time, and she said, oh, you should come out here to California. And so I did, and one of the reasons that we came, which is kind of crazy, but we came out here because Motown left Detroit. And my sister and I was, well, if they left Detroit and went to California, we could go to California too, right? Yeah. Long story short, my mother was saying constantly, what are you going to do for money? Because everyone in Motown can sing or dance, and what are you going to do? Ironically, we really didn't know, to tell you the honest truth. We didn't know. We had saved some money, so we came out here trying to figure out what we would do. Luckily, my twin sister was in Beverly Hills walking down the street one day, and a black woman that owned a store on Doheny asked her, do you want this store? Because when I said I'm leaving, and when I leave, that's going to be it. Another black person will never get in. So that was actually, I'm going to tell my age, but that was in the 70s. And we okay. actually ended up getting that store and opening it. And the first thing we sold was jewelry. So the importance of doing for self is you get a certain amount of, there's a freedom that comes with doing for self. You're able to be as creative as you like. You can... it's limitless on what you can do and how much money you can make. It all depends on your goals and aspirations. I would say also it helps to overcome doubt, fear, and rejection. I can remember as a young woman out here in California, we ended up closing that store. It was open for about 7 or 8 years in Beverly Hills. And remember, I was trying to get a job. Kept going on interviews everywhere, and I could not get hired. And I didn't understand why, but I didn't understand how to get a job. You know, I would go there and talk about how I never had a job and I only had my own business and blah, 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 right? I would only talk about what I knew, which is an entrepreneur. So, of course, they did not hire me because I was not talking their language. And so realized early in life that if I was going to be successful and if I was going to make it in life, I had to have my own business. And so from there, I had enough faith and belief that I could do it again. And so this is a true story. Do I have a few minutes to tell it?
Go right ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, yes, ma'am. I was shopping at a store in Inglewood, and the man, it was a man from India, and I kept going in there buying clothes. Like every month or two, I would go buy a dress or an outfit. And so one day he told me, he said, I have to close this store or I have to sell this store to someone. And he said, I would like it to be you. And I thought, Okay, that sounds good. He told me how much he wanted, and at the time, I remember, I had just gotten married. I didn't have any money, not the kind of money he wanted, but I didn't have, I had the faith to believe that I could actually run that store. And so he told me what he wanted, and I told him, okay. And I remember coming out and telling my husband, okay, we need this amount of money because that man just offered that store to me, and I want that store. And ironically, this is very true, 30 days later, we were blessed to get the money. We borrowed money. We were given money. We realized we had a little money saved, and we were blessed to raise enough money to get that store. And when I tell you, it was a blessing, and it was such a honor because it was so much inventory. It was unbelievable, the inventory that this man had in this store. He had like five other stores, so he wasn't that interested in that particular location because he was in the mall. So anyway, long story short, sister, that was the beginning of doing for self and stepping out on faith. You know, like I said, the time that he made the offer, we really did not have the money. But when it is destined for you to do something or have something, Allah will provide everything that you need. You just have the faith and the trust and belief. Now, it was hard work because we were open 6 or 7 days a week, and we were open, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 miles a day. But like Muhammad said, for every problem that we had, at the end of that problem, he said work. And that was the solution to the problem, work. And so you have the faith, you have to overcome your fear, you have to overcome doubt, rejection, and trust me, you're going to make mistakes, but it's okay. Because every mistake is a lesson, and you learn from that lesson, and you build from that, and you just keep going and going until you are able to plateau, let's say, in the sense of understanding what your role is, your mission is, your goal is, and then you just go after that.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful, beautiful. Yes. Sister Barbara, this is very interesting. You know, one of the things I heard Sister Amina say, and we can go back to Brother Sharif's point, is prayer, how God answers prayers. Because she's saying how, you know, she realized she needed her own business, and then, you know, God answered her prayer and gave her a wonderful opportunity to start that business. That's beautiful. So in your career, you know, from the beginning, prior to being an attorney and even growing up, but, you know, any of those stories you want to share with us that talk about the building of businesses and the business models that you've seen as to why we need to do business for ourselves today and making businesses for ourselves.
Okay.
Sister Barbara.
We need to do business for ourselves because we can be guaranteed a job if it's our business. And you don't have to go and ask someone. You know, you just do it. And what happened was I was in law school getting ready to graduate, and I was trying to figure out what am I going to do. So I went on a few interviews, and I got a job working in the office of the district attorney, but not as a lawyer at that point. I got as an assistant district attorney to help the DA do the cases. I was underneath the DA. So I did that for about a year, and then I decided I'm going to open my own office. So I set up shop, and what I did was a general practice law firm. Whatever people wanted me to do, I did it. Whether it was like a contract, criminal stuff, it was like all the different areas of law. And that's how I got started. And after a while, people just kept coming and coming, and it grew from that point. I did a good job, I guess, and they kept coming back, and they kept sending people to me. And that's how I got started in law, having my own office.
Yes, ma'am, because I know you and I talked about this title, Making a Business for Ourselves, and, you know, you talked about how even as a child and you saw other nationalities, they will make a business for themselves. They don't wait around for jobs. You know, we talked about our own, like my father, I think, like you said, Sister Queen Amina, how your father had a business. Well, my father, I call him like the black, you know, it was kind of like the joke they talk about Jamaicans, because my father had many jobs. He had a full-time job, but then he sold fish, he made barbecue, he had a janitorial company, he cut the grass. You know, it was just, you know, it was just our nature to have black businesses. And, of course, we have to look at the business model of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, where in the 60s we know there was Guarantee Bank owned by the nation under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You see in the pictures the stocked shelves of your supermarket in Temple No. 2, clothing and shoe stores in Chicago. You know, I think in another article by a sister, Doris Muhammad, who has an ice cream shop, and her she talked about how growing up in Cleveland, they had schools. Actually, there were two restaurants and bakeries when she was growing up, I believe, in the 60s. Then we know about the history of Atlanta with the 1973, where we had bakeries under Brother Abdul Rahman's leadership. They had the fish restaurants. They had the haberdasheries and the sewing companies. So, you know, this is something that these models, we want to look at the models. And so just going forward, I want to ask about in looking at those models, does anything really kind of stick out at us from anything I've said regarding some of the attitudes that we see amongst others and, you know, of course, our history that says doing and making businesses for ourselves is what we need to be doing?
Well, yes, ma'am. I'd like to make a comment.
Go right ahead.
And I can say, as after George Floyd's death, I have noticed that there's a serious consciousness amongst our people where they want to shop black. They want to spend their money with black-owned businesses. And they actually come in the store and say, you know, they say that. They say, we want to shop black. We're tired of spending money, you know, in other communities. We want to spend money with our own. So that has really been a blessing because I've never experienced it as much as I have within the last year or so, where that consciousness is there and they want to spend black. So, yes, I mean,
yes,
we're
ma'am.
Tired of, you know, forcing ourselves on going into stores, being mistreated, not being, you know, treated properly when you go in to buy something and, you know, people acting like they don't see you, you're invisible. So, you know, we don't have to do that because the black-owned businesses, most of them are fully stocked, have merchandise that, you know, they have beautiful, expensive merchandise. I mean, all levels of merchandise, you know. So, like, if you come to Leimert Park, there's, like, 19 black-owned businesses, you know, right in that little area. And I think in most, they may not be that many stores, but there are stores. Now, until our people, black people and people of color begin to understand that you may have to drive a little further, you may have to go out of your way, but unless we support each other and spend money with each other, you know, we would never be successful. And I used to, the store in Inglewood, let me backtrack a little and share with you, before I actually got the store, took my children, Fahim and Julila, because Amin was away at college, in front of that store, and I told them, we're going to pray, and we would pray. And I said, you have to see mommy. Let's do visualization. See mommy in the store. And a lot of people in the store handed me $100 bills. And we did that.
Wow.
We prayed.
Yes, ma'am.
We believed that I was going to get it, and we did. So I just want to say that to say that. And now my children, all three are entrepreneurs. All three of them are entrepreneurs because that's all they saw.
So it becomes a generational wealth, the generational entrepreneurship, and that's what you want. You know, we want, when you look in California at the Mexicans as an example, the Mexicans are on the street selling oranges, flowers, mangoes, you name it. And they don't have, you know, they understand that they have to be an entrepreneur. When you go to third world countries, when you go to Africa, you see hundreds of people selling the same items, but everyone has their little shop. So until we get in the mind that we have to do something for ourselves, and we can start out by just selling small items and then, you know, growing from that point to wherever it is you're trying to go. But, I mean, so fruit on the street like the Mexicans, that's sitting around begging and waiting for someone to give you something. And no one wants to give away money today. Money's hard to come by, you know, especially
that's
with
right.
COVID and all that's happening. So we have to begin to think about, okay, what can I do? What am I good at? What would I do for free? If you would do something for free, then you need to figure out how do I make money with that same passion and desire that I have to be an entrepreneur. How do I turn that into money and cash, you know? And I'm telling
yes,
you,
ma'am.
It's that simple right now. Whatever it is you put on your mind you want to do, Allah is going to bless you to do it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's beautiful. So under the title, we're saying how to be creative. Sister's giving some very important strategies, how to run and operate businesses correctly. You know, and it's interesting because in that article in the final call, Brother Abdul Sharif made that blacks who get over $1 trillion out of the U.S. economy every year must find their economic niche. And so one of the things you brought up, Sister Queen Amina, I think is interesting about people wanting to buy black. That's a niche because a business niche is defined as a specific group of clients or customers that you serve. You know, it's how you describe your target audience and the market in which you want to compete. And further, a target market. So that's, you know, these are some strategies. What is your target market in a business? And that's that group of people with some shared characteristics that a company has identified as potential customers for its product. So, again, we're looking at black people, this $1 trillion market out here. We want to get, you know, into some of making sure we're getting our fair share, if not all of our money. Sister Barbara, if you want to talk about that, because I know as an attorney, one of the beautiful things, I was practicing law in St. Louis, right? And St. Louis is one of those cities that's black and white. I'm currently in Houston, Texas. But one of the things I noticed about being in St. Louis in the black community, I said, hey, this is my community. These are my people. This is my language and these problems and, you know, opportunities and challenges that our community faces. I understand. So that's a niche market for me. And being, you know, close in line, that was something that I was able to utilize by being in the community. Sister Barbara, I want to give you an opportunity to chime in as well. And also I want to say, if anyone would like to ask a question or a comment, make a comment about some of the conversation on tonight's show, please press the number 1 to get into the queue if any of the callers would like to make a question, have a question or a comment. Thank you. Sister Barbara.
Yes. Okay,
yes,
I just want to add to what Sister Amina was saying because I was born and grew up in Panama, which is, you know, a third world country.
Okay.
And the people there, they do for self. Of course, there are companies that hire people, but it's not a whole lot of companies like in the U.S. So people find out what can they do, and they set themselves up in business. So it's widespread. Most of the people, you know, do for self in those countries. So I grew up seeing that. And that just, you know, encouraged me. I knew I could do it, you know, because I've seen it, seen other people doing it. And I was not afraid to just go out there and do for self. And,
yes,
and this
ma'am.
Is very common in a lot of the foreign countries, third world countries especially. They, you know, the people do for self.
That's right.
And
yes,
when you,
ma'am.
When you do for self, you can always make sure you have money.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Did you want to continue? I know, because like you all are saying, putting your fate in the hands of other people, you know, this is mm-hmm. where we're at the crossroads, and we're seeing these layoffs. We're seeing more of the lost jobs and the unemployment. So if that's not some motivation, you know, and
yeah.
like Brother Sharif said that, in the article that we're quoting him from, he's saying that it's divinely, that it was warned, you know, that this was going to happen and that black people were going to have to do for ourselves. I'm trying to find that specific quote, but, yeah, so, all right.
Yes, ma'am. Under program and position. I'm looking for it as well. But
yes,
and
let me read this real fast. And I can say that from building our own society, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, you are trying to force yourself into white society rather than taking the responsibility of building your own society. He goes on to say that this is your shame and disgrace as a people in this modern time. Allah and the Nation of Islam will help you build one of the finest and best societies the world of man has ever seen if you will only be yourself and get off your knees praying to be other than yourself, a member of the white race. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Sister Queen, go ahead with what you were saying. Sister Queen Amina, did you want to go ahead? I was just
making a comment. Also, one other great point of having your own business is that you have something to leave your children, your family, something
right.
that they can do on. And the younger generation, you know, they will enhance what you've done and take it to another level because that's just how their brains work, you know, their mind. They're quick thinking, fast, taken to action really quickly. So, you know, that's another key. I can remember, you know, as I said, I would go on job interviews and I would not get hired. And it really affected myself to a point. You know, I began to have doubt and wonder, well, why can't I get a job? But I didn't realize then that I wasn't saying what they wanted to hear. I was going into there very confident. I'm a businesswoman. I've had my life, blah, blah, blah. They didn't want to hear that. But I didn't know. And so I can remember thinking, oh, that I want to put things in place so that my children would never have to wonder how they would make any money or have their own, have a business or wonder if they can get a job. No. There's something already in place. Take that and take it and move forward. So it's a family-owned business. We all are working in the business together and all have their own business. As well, but I think it's very important that children grow up in an environment where they see you doing business and doing something for yourself so that they won't be dependent on the white man's job or working a job. As you said, there aren't that many jobs available right now anyway.
That's
right, ma'am.
So you may as well
wait
now before you get to the point where you're destitute. You know, you can start now just really focusing on what is it that you want to do. Focus on your purpose in life. What is it that you were born to do? What does Allah want you to do or be? And then work on
yes,
that.
Yes, ma'am.
You know? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
We're
going to take a couple of comments. Yeah, I love every – that is so beautiful what you're saying, and your spirit is so beautiful. We're going to take a comment from Sister – let's see – Sister Marguerite, let's see, I'm trying to open up her mic. Sister Marguerite, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, queen. This is Sister Marguerite currently in Pearland, Texas. But
okay.
Sister Amina and I came in the same year, didn't we, Sister Amina?
Praise
and we were in the Leimert area, the topographical center and the mosques were in that area. That is a very, what can I say, rich with history area that Queen is talking about. I love that area. And no matter where I am in California, I have to drive down Crenshaw Boulevard.
That's right.
And when you all are talking about your own business and everything, one of my sons became a HVAC person. His uncle has a business, and what is happening is he's taking over the business. But what we found out, because we were trying to get other young men into the trades, because, you know, my father was in the trade, and he was kept out of the trades by Jim Crow and segregation. But what they're finding out is the trades are wide open now for our brothers to take advantage of, because these white men are dying off with all this knowledge. They're not having children, or their children are not wanting to go into it, you know, all these reasons. So there is a vacuum in the trade. So they're having a hard time finding people who know how to put together a cabinet, who know how to electrify a house, who know how to put in plumbing. So that is a prime area for our brothers, and that you can easily start your own business, you know, word of mouth that way.
Oh,
but on what you were saying about black businesses, one of the things that I went into a Asian beauty supply, this had to be about 10 years ago. And, you know, I was walking around, I was going to buy something, and I looked up because I wanted to ask about a product, and there's nobody black in there. And I looked at the guy, I said, why don't you have any black employees in here? And all of a sudden, he couldn't speak English. So I put the stuff down, I put the basket down and walked out, and I said, don't patronize them at all.
Yes,
because
exactly.
They don't feel they need it. I mean, most of the products are geared towards us, but you don't have nobody in there I could even ask a question to.
Exactly.
You know? So we really need to stop patronizing these places, and because they'll sell the hair to us if we ain't buying it from them.
Oh yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I ran into that problem at one point when I was buying wholesale. From downtown LA, I was buying cultural clothing from downtown, and I was actually buying from some Koreans because they were the only ones that had the African clothing. And one day I went in, and the lady told me, she said, you know, there's several Korean shops all around near your store, and they are putting a lot of pressure on me about selling to you because they're saying they don't want me to sell to you. She said, I told them, you're a big customer, and I'm going to continue to sell to you. So, listen, they work together in unity and strength, and that's what we have to do. We, as you said, Marguerite, we stop spending money in their businesses and spend money with ourselves. I used to tell many of my customers, I said, listen, when you spend money with me, that money is going to help me send my children to college, and my children are going to come back to the community and help up. Now, when you go and spend your money with other nationalities, that's what they do. They put the money in their own and have their children enjoy the fruits of it. And so until we get it and not have that jealousy and envy of each one of us, hey, let's make some millionaires and billionaires. Why not? And don't be mad at me. Help. Let's work together. Maybe I can pull you up and you can have a business of your own. Maybe I can help you as well. I know I can help you. But you can't, you know, the jealousy and envy has to stop, and we have to begin to spend money with each other, period.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sister Marguerite.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Assalamualaikum. Yes, and I think it's a great time, Sister Amina, to read Muhammad's Economic Blueprint, the five principles, which is to recognize the necessity of unity, group operations, pooling your resources, physically as well as financially. Stop wanting criticism of everything that is Black-owned and Black-operated. Keep in mind jealousy destroys from within. Observe the operations of the white man. He is successful. He makes no excuses for his failures. He works hard in a collective manner. You do the same. And this is from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That is the Muhammad Economic Blueprint. So we're going to go ahead and take this call from our sister. We have sister, I believe her last, her name is Kulsum, Sister Kulsum. Am I pronouncing it right? Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Family. I'm just really happy to be able to express some bottled up energies, because I've been in the nation for a while, and like you were saying at the very beginning of the program, Sister Pamela, yes, had all of our own fish stores, bakeries, restaurants, schools, sewing, and that's what picked us up from the very beginning of the building of our nation. You know, Elijah Muhammad's teaching was do for self. And back in the day, I'm a senior, so our schooling days were still filled with home economics. And I loved what Sister Amina was saying about anything that you're willing to do free, that is something that you can make your livelihood. And definitely we know how to cook, sew, clean. And these are things that women and men did to feed their families, you know, because we learned how to do for self. And the niche that you were speaking of, the messenger gave to us, was the niche was food, clothing, and shelter.
Mm. Great point.
Yes, I mean, right now today, with all of our arguing and disagreements and the youth killing each other, you know, who can spark the electricity to come on in your city? You know, Sister Marguerite was speaking on, you know, getting the house together and doing electricity, but the power source is still not ours. Also, they're saying back in the day that I remember, we didn't have a toothpick factory. You know, with all the trees that are growing. I heard something coming out of Africa, you know, that is one of the biggest cocoa producing lands, and they don't have a chocolate company. They sell it all. Just, you know, it's such a wide, wide field that you sisters have opened up for us. And whether there are jobs or whether there are no jobs, there's work to be done to live. You know, just to be alive. Yes, ma'am. And I remember as a young Muslim going out to nowhere and had to pump water. And when I came back to California, it's like, wow, I can just turn on the faucet. So, but the love for life itself is what we were given. The minister, our beloved brother Farrakhan, has showed us that we can acquire land and we can do for self. And I just wanted to touch on those things, go on and on. But thank you all for being here and inspiring us all. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, wa alaikum salam, ma'am. And thank you for calling. All praises are due to Allah, Sister Kulsum. And I did want to interject, because it's very important. Our title is called Law and Making a Business for Yourself. And I do believe that, of course, making, you know, good business practices are very important. And so legal as we know, is very important to business operations. And, you know, some of the things we think about are contracts, which are agreements that create legally enforceable obligations. Sister Barbara, you know, contracts is very important when we talk about how you make contracts, and you got to exchange consideration on both sides. Contracts are very important in businesses. I can remember once having a little business, a little store, and I had a bad lease. You know, my business got to be looking good in the community, and I got a lease that I didn't negotiate, you know, properly. I was very young at the time. And, you know, and so that caused me to, you know, maybe go a different direction with my business. Actually, I closed it down. But, you know, so when you're looking at contracts, you're making sure that blanks are, you know, not there. Make sure it's filled out. Really, on a time for justice, we always want to advise you to get you an attorney in your state that can help you. Isn't that right, Sister Barbara? Attorneys can help with this type of thing, because you did years of corporate law. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, speaking about contracts, even before that, when you're setting up your business, you want to do it legally, whether it's going to be a corporation or, you know, not-for-profit or for-profit, and also just, you know, whatever type of business you want to do, you have to have the paperwork. For instance,
yes,
like a limited liability corporation or a regular corporation, not-for-profit corporation, just have the paperwork done to make your business legal.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And you told me something very fascinating the way you said it earlier. You said that that's the way you – like having the proper legal structure or some legal structure is how you determine ownership. That way you can say this is mine. So I thought,
that's right.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
Right. That's
mm-hmm.
right.
Yes. So very important.
It's not hard. It's not hard to set up a business. Just, you know, if you get the right paper.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
ma'am.
It's a good idea.
And the right. Go ahead.
No, and it's a good idea because if people try to infringe on your business, you're protected.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Very, very important. And even, like you say, with the to me, helping with systems guidance is something that lawyers do. We help with the structure. We help with the guidance. So make sure you get, you know, some type of legal input. Is very,
mm-hmm.
very important because we want to practice having good business practices so we can be successful. Let me go ahead. We have another call. I think I have a like to open up the mic of this sister. Let's see. Sister Khadija, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Khadija. Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am. How are y'all doing this evening?
We are fine, sister, by Allah's grace. How about yourself, ma'am?
Fine, by Allah's grace. I don't really believe a coincidence, but I am so happy to hear this forum. My comment is
to Allah.
I own some land, and I'm looking for to keep whatever is going to be given to us in our black community. And I'm looking for an attorney, and I understand there's two on the line, to help us. And if you can't help us, point us in the right direction to some black attorneys. So that's my comment.
Okay.
This evening.
Yes, ma'am. Well, what we'll do is maybe take your number and then give you a call, see what state you're in. What state are you in, sister?
I'm in the beautiful state of Georgia.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, then. Well, Sister Barbara, you know.
Yes, I'm in Georgia.
Ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
ma'am. So I didn't know go ahead, Sister Khadija.
No, I was just saying that I met Sister Barbara years and years and years and years ago. And I didn't know she did real estate, but I would be more than happy to talk with whoever calls me. If I can give my number to you all, I'll appreciate it.
Okay. Well, yes, ma'am, and we do see your number the call in. So if we know of any other lawyers as well as Sister Barbara's on the line, definitely. Sounds good. Yes, ma'am.
All right, then. Y'all have a pleasant evening, and I'm enjoying the lecture.
All right, Sister Khadijah. Thanks for calling, and good luck with what you're doing just to call in and make, your determination to say that you're being successful and you're moving out on what we've been taught as Muslims. I'm so proud to hear you on this line, sis. So, may Allah continue to bless you with success. Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum. Because Sister Queen Amina, earlier you were talking about the youth and getting your children involved, and I just think that is so important for two reasons to me. One of the things is the sister was talking about how in the first, earlier there were lots of successful black businesses and how now we're, at the point that we're at. And I know integration had a lot to do with that, as well as the fact I heard the minister make the comment once about how the youth are, not as happy with us because we don't have businesses for them. I can remember in the 90s, trying to get my nieces and nephews like, oh, yeah, go work at McDonald's, that whole rhetoric about how y'all need to get. But it's like, and then sometimes they would end up in activity that wasn't positive. Our youth out here trying to make it because we don't have businesses for them to do. And so this is so very important I admire what you said earlier, Sister Queen. I'm trying to see, do we have any other? Go ahead, ma'am. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I'm looking at the dashboard. See if anybody else has a question or a comment, but yes, ma'am, go right ahead.
I was just saying, Sister Trinitria just texted me. She was trying to make a comment.
Trinitria? Okay, all right. Well, tell her to press number one so I can see her.
Oh, okay.
If you have her on the line, that's fine. Okay.
Yes. You have her?
Let's see. I see. Call, let me just open up this mic. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, family. How is everyone doing?
Fine, ma'am. Fine. By Allah's grace. Yes, ma'am. How about yourself, sister?
Doing well, Sister Pam and Sister Amina and our other attorney sister. I can't see the names right now. I'm sorry.
Barbara.
Sister Barbara. Yes, ma'am. Yes. It's so wonderful to hear this topic that you all are discussing, and it's really inspiring because I, as a young girl, I remember we had a lot of black businesses in our community, right? And it was all mostly need-based. I remember one of our neighborhood friends, their mother opened what they call Door Burger. They had like the best hamburgers and french fries and et cetera. Like a little mom and pop, as they call it, Burger Queen stand. So I think having our own business is something that is really, really important. And if we look at how things are going on in America right now, where Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, they can't even pretty much provide jobs for themselves. So how are they going to provide jobs for over 20 million of us, so to speak? So this topic is definitely important, and a lot of us should heed this because having our own business is very important. And I think it was Sister Amina when she gave that example of, you might make mistakes in the process. However, it's just the point of stepping out on prayer and faith and making it happen, and Allah will back you. So So I just kind of wanted to, you know, just let you all know that I'm really enjoying this show, and the topic is phenomenal.
Well, all praises are due to Allah. Thank you so much, Sister Levette, for calling in, beloved. Yes, ma'am. May Allah continue to bless you too, sis.
Sister Pamela.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead, Sister Barbara. Yes, ma'am.
Because I have two sons, and they have always seen us doing business. So one of my sons opened a business on his own that it was his idea. And he formed a chauffeured limousine service, which is very active, and, you know, he's making a lot of money from doing this. And, you know, he came up with this idea on his own and took the steps that were necessary to get it going. And he's been very prosperous with it up to today. I don't know if he's on the line because I told him I was going to be on the show, but he's very successful in his business. I'm making a lot of money.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. So, Sister Barbara, son, if you're on the line, press the number 1 to get into the host queue, sir. We're going to go ahead and take this sister's call. Thank you so much for that, Sister Barbara. Let's see. I believe 3. Yes. Assalamu alaikum, ma'am. I believe this is Sister Trania in 301. I'm opening up the mic. I'm not. Is this the sister? Okay. Well, I'm not sure. But let me go ahead. Sister Barbara, you brought up an excellent point because we want to talk about advantages of doing business. And one of my big advantages is, as a woman, like you mentioned, Sister Amina, having your children with you at work, you know, having the ability to go to their important event and not having to, you know, ask somebody if it was okay, you know, being there for my child if they were sick. And like you say, just the immeasurable value that the children get from being around us as we are working our trades. They may not want to do what we did, you know, be a lawyer, but they definitely learned some business ethics. So that is just an immeasurable value, I think, of having your own business. Yes. Did anyone else want to weigh in on that?
Yeah. Can I add something to what you just said, Sister Pamela? My son, who has this taxi and limousine service, he's studying to be a lawyer now. He decided he wanted to be a lawyer. So he has decided to, you know, pursue becoming a lawyer right now. He's working on it.
Yes, ma'am. See, and this is how the generations, I mean, we studied in the secret relationship between blacks and Jews. One of the things I noticed from that was how the different timelines with the relatives and the nieces and the nephews and all of these people, they brought them in and they trained them. And this is how you carry on these legacies, by passing down this information, as opposed to, like Carter G. Woodson said, you know, in The Miseducation of the Negro, you have a wonderful business, maybe having a cleaners, like we see a lot of these Asian people maybe having some of these stores. And you know, our families were told to go get a job. You know, your daddy, my daddy with his company, you know, we go get a job instead of taking the family business to another level. And this has to stop with our survival is really right here. So we're kind of coming down to the, you know, ends with our conversation. I think the discussion is moving along. If anyone would like to chime in on any of what we said, please also press the number 1 to get into the host queue. Sister Queen Amina, I'm going to have to ask you to tell us about your business specifically because we want to let the people know, and you as well, Sister Barbara. Sister Attorney Barbara has been on the nation's legal team for such a very long time, being, you know, playing intricate roles in some very, very important cases. So we want her to share with us as well. And Sister Queen Amina, yes, you are that one at Savior's Day that has those garments that, you know, come off of the, like, they're like an assembly line, all different colors. Please share with us and tell the listeners how they can get in contact with you, just in case they don't know.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
By the grace of God, I remember I was motivated 1 year in the early 80s when we would go to Savior's Day, and we wanted to wear garments, but at that time there wasn't really anyone selling garments, you know, at Savior's Day. So I can remember saying, I'm just going to make them myself. And when I said it, I thought, now how are you going to do that? Because at the time I didn't sew. I didn't sew, and I wasn't. I didn't know how to set up the manufacturing or any of that. And I just want to share with you that when you have a passion and a desire, and it's strong enough, how Allah will send you everything that you need. And Allah sent someone to me, which was a friend of my husband, which was in the manufacturing business for like 30 or 40 years, knew it, you know, from A to Z. And he ended up training me and teaching me and showing me what to do. And from there, it just took a life of its own. And one of the reasons was because I really had a desire to dress black women. And I always loved a lot of color, you know. And so we knew that we had to buy our regulation colors. But I always wanted to wear yellow and pinks and green. So that was my motivation, and Allah just put everything in place and to make that happen. And so even, you know, the sisters in the nation wear the garments, but even sisters in the community love the garment and always ask me about the garment and want to wear them as themselves. So, I mean, everything that the messenger has taught us, message to the black man, about pooling our resources, coming together, you know, and anyone that's interested in opening a business or sharing their idea with me, if I can help you or guide you or direct you, I would love to do that. But I want to share one thing also about family-owned businesses. My children, hopefully all of them are on the line, and I've asked them to make a comment, and they haven't yet. But I just want to say also that even though my children have been with me throughout the years of my entrepreneurship, because I'm maturing now, they see the need to come and help me even more so. You know, now I know they're very busy, all three of them, very busy, they have their own life. But now they need to come in and help me more. And I really am thankful for that, because my whole goal in life was to have something in place for them. So now they all are coming in. And so I'm saying that to say that just because you have a business does not necessarily mean that the children want the business that you have. But at some point, they're going to take what you have and enhance it and improve it and make it better than what you have been able to do. I get that part. And so I'm thankful, very thankful that all three of them are becoming very interested in what I'm doing and what I'm doing and how I've been doing it. And they are all looking at which area they want. So it's ironic. My grandson, who is 8 years old, Saif Muhammad, he calls me every day, Grandma, can you come and get me? I want to go work at the shop.
That's cute.
And he is good with customers. He's a hard worker. He's very focused. And he comes in and says, okay, Grandma, tell me what you want me to do. And he just does it. I say, dust this, sweep this. You know, you start him at the bottom. He's
awesome.
Is this really going to be my store one day? I say, of course. Yes, sir. You are going to be the CEO of the business.
Yes, ma'am.
So
that's beautiful.
Jalila or Fahim or Amin, if you're on the line, can you comment on being raised in a family business and the pros and cons of it? I know
that'd be beautiful. And so please, if you'd like to make that comment, press the number one and we'll get you right in. Press the number one and we can see your call. And while we're waiting, you know, it just, as I'm listening to you, it reminded me again of this article that Brother Sharif said, they are forcing us to be creative, to use yes. our creative genius that God gave us to do something for ourselves. And this is what we're going to have to do. And I just thought that was such a profound statement that our brother made in this article. Again, black men not working. This is in the final call. And, you know, not only do they deal with the problem, they're dealing with the solution, which is go ahead and start doing for ourselves, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has been teaching us, has taught us, as well as the fact, I'll just go ahead, and from our sister Doris Muhammad's article, which I just thought was such a beautiful article. Sister Starla wrote this article a while back. And Sister Darla had the ice cream parlor. You all may know her, Salam Ice Cream. But she brought up the point about how wonderful it is to have Muslims in the community. And I know Sister Queen Amina, you actually received an award, Queen of Leimert Park, for being in the community. And what Sister Doris is quoted as saying is that everything we try to give our people is the better part of things. It's just about representing the teachings and doing for self. So,
yes.
Yeah, I wanted to say that. Yes, ma'am. I think I have one of the three California on the line. Let's see. I'm opening up the mic, and then we'll give you your opportunity to respond, Sister Queen Amina. Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam. This is Sister Amina's daughter, Sister Jalila. Mom, can you clarify the question? Sorry about that.
Yes, ma'am. I was just asking you the pros and cons of working with a mother that's an entrepreneur or a family-owned business. I want you to, you know, tell, because the listening audience, so they will understand from your perspective how you feel about taking over the family business and why wasn't it of your interest maybe 5 years ago, but it is today?
Okay, that's a loaded question, but I'll try my best. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I want to give everybody the greetings that's on the call. I would say the cons for me growing up with a family business was that, and my mom didn't own one business growing up. She owned about five. So we always had to work so hard growing up, and we didn't have, you know, the normal childhood, yes, but kind of like the normal, you just get to play outside. No, you have to make honey punch before we left, which is our family's drink business, and we have to get deliveries today. And, you know, so we worked really, really hard. And then another con I would say was my mom wasn't able to make every event that we had because she was always so hardworking. But the pros is the amount of information that you gather and learn with a parent who is a business owner and an entrepreneur specifically. You know, my mom, she didn't start with Queen Amina. She started with a juice business where she sold Honey Punch, which we still own that business today. Then she went into the Tape Connection, I believe it was called, and she sold the ministers' videos and books for years. And then she went into clothing. So my whole childhood and upbringing, I learned so much about so much of the business world. And I think that it's helped me throughout my life. And then I would say now I always knew, being the girl of the family and her having a cultural clothing store for women, I always knew that it would be my place to take over the store from her one day. But I just never saw that day coming, if that makes sense. So when I went to school for accounting, and, you know, I kind of was engaged in a different field, and I ended up getting a job right out of school. And then I realized, growing up with an entrepreneur mom, I can't work for white people. This is not it for me. So I quit that job. And then when I got married, my husband started the Muhammad University in Los Angeles, and I was thrown into that. And, you know, I helped with the accounting, I helped with the day-to-day, et cetera, with MUI. And, you know, I was just kind of pulled in a lot of different directions. But this year, or last year, actually, my mom got COVID. And when she got COVID, it was a reality check for me that she's not promised to me for the rest of her life. And I know that she built businesses for us to one day have. And I knew that, you know, it was no longer an option for me to help. It was mandatory for me to help, you know, because she's been sacrificing her whole life for us to have something. And I'm at the point now where I'm old and it's time for me to really help. So I hope I answered all your questions, Mom. But yes,
ma'am.
That's what I'm like.
Well, Lake of Song. Also, I had a daycare. Don't forget that. Okay, thank you.
Yes, that is so beautiful. That's the title, Making a Business for Yourself, Sister Queen of Me. Yes. I knew you are a very magnificent business person, and satisfying your customers. That's so important. You know, the quality of service is what we're hearing. And I just want to put this out there, again, quoting Brother Sharif, because Sister Barbara, you can tell us some of what's going on down in Atlanta with the many businesses. But he went on to say, Black people are facing annihilation if they don't come together and close the employment gap. And he said that must include closing the education gap. Because he said the enemy especially never wanted the Black man to be educated, so he would continue to be a slave, observed Minister Sharif. So, I think this is such a powerful conversation, and your daughter's words were so beautiful. Thank you so much, Sister Queen Amina, for encouraging her to share with us. Sister Barbara, I want to put this on you, and Sister Queen, you can come on in too. But again, Sister Doris's quote is about, everything we try to give our people is the better part of things. And so I think the quality of service is so important. You know, we hear the excuse of why Black people don't want to sometimes patronize other Blacks and other smaller businesses and that whole thing. And that's one thing about the Muslims. And you know, and of course, I always tell people when they make that excuse, just go to another Black person, okay? If you don't get what you want from one business, just go to another Black person. Go to, you know, but you got to have it in your mind that I have allegiance to, like you say, Sister Queen, serving and giving my money to somebody that looks like me. And so I'm going to see that dollar circulate. But I wanted, Sister Barbara, you can mention to us, if you'd like, some of how you all have given such great service as attorneys all these years, and even sometimes when you didn't have the major budgets to fight some of these Goliaths in these law firms. Yes. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. I'm gonna start with when we first got into the nation and found out we were lawyers, we started working immediately because they were accusing the minister and the nation of killing Malcolm X. And it was placed in New York Post newspaper. So we decided we're gonna fix you guys. We brought a lawsuit against the New York Post newspaper, big paper. So
yes,
what
ma'am.
Happened was we won the lawsuit. We sued them for defamation, and we won the lawsuit, and they told the paper to stop, cease and desist, you know.
Yes, ma'am.
So they tried to appeal it three times. And three times it was denied, and it was reaffirmed for us, you know. And
yes,
we've had a legal matter with them. And we every time they come at us legally, we win. There was another occasion when the cops, they came into the mosque and, you know, try to subdue what they thought something was happening in there, and it turned out that no, police just wanted an excuse to come up in there, and one of them got pushed down the stairs, got hurt, but basically they lost that lawsuit also. We won. Every time they come against us, we win. And then in the papers they would say, oh, Muhammad Mosque wins again. And they
That's
were just
right.
so shocked because the lawyers that we were up against were like Fifth Avenue lawyers with lots of money. And the ones from the mosque who were working on the case, I was one, Sister Ava, and my cousin, Sister Elena, who she passed away. But we were working for free and, you know, using our own money. And
Right.
They would make comments in the newspapers that, you know, that the mosque wins again.
Yes, ma'am.
And they have not
right.
been able to win any lawsuit against the nation. And it's
yes,
been about
ma'am.
40 years. It's been about 40 years. And last year they tried one more time and the judge denied it. Nope, tell them don't come back. You know, we're not going to overturn it. So, you know, that's it.
Yes, ma'am.
But,
yes, ma'am.
You know, all the legal stuff, the lawyers, we handle legal matters free, and we're usually successful for the nation.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful. And like you say, and even in our private practices where we quality service, if you give quality service, if you listen to the needs of your customers and, you know, and try
mm-hmm.
to be compassionate and helpful, it just really goes such a long way. And these are some of the skills that we learn, of course, from the
right.
the teaching
mm-hmm.
and just as being, you know, decent Black people. So I just think this is so beautiful. And Sister Queen, I think you brought up a really great point. Your daughter shared it. This thing about training our children and giving routines, because I think with business, you know, they talk about e-myth mastery and how they have these turnkey businesses, but really what they're talking about is routines. You do the same thing every day. You know, you have to make the bean pie the same way, or, you know, you have to make those garments, you know, same quality in each one. So talking about giving your children routines, you know, folding this or hanging up this, or, you know, how has that served them as, you know, as adults? Do you see that quality and skill come through them, you know, making them the fine adults that they've become?
Yes, ma'am. By the grace of Allah, I can say that one of the things I was really a stickler about is just being consistent and not procrastinating and, you know, finishing what you start. And so I could say that about all three, that they finish what they start. They when they take on a task, they take it on in the fullness of whatever the task is. And I would like to, Fahim, for you to talk a little bit about what your business is and what you're doing with Oasis. Fahim, can you please call in, push the number one? And Amin also started a catering business. He and Fahim and Julila, they were catering. They had their own business. And soon they'll be opening a restaurant, inshallah.
Wow.
But Amin went to school for catering. And now he also caters on Amtrak. He's a chef on Amtrak. But he also has
wow.
his own business. So can one of you please call in and make a comment? They're just not going to do it, huh?
And also, Sister Queen Amina, give us your website. I believe your website is that Amina? Can you tell us the
QueenAmina.com.
QueenAmina.com, right,
and
yeah.
I have another one that we're rebuilding. That's an old one. And it's Queen Amina's shop. Is that it, Julila? Am I saying it right? Queen Amina's shop? She's actually working on a new one for me.
Yes, ma'am. And so we're waiting. I think some of the popular industries that, you know, sole proprietors, anybody's listening, looking for some ideas, of course, they talk about the five sectors. One of them is professional services. Another sector is repair and personal services. Construction is big. Administrative services and retail. I think the sister earlier told us that, what did she say? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked to us about the needs, the food, the clothing, the shelter. You know, they talked about how self-employed people or people who own their own companies are generally happier with their day-to-day work, with, you know, 70% saying that they're happier compared to people with the traditional workers, just have more satisfaction. You know, and this is where we are now. I think I heard Sister Ava, Dr. Ava Muhammad, who is the owner of the Elevated Places Network, and actually you all please tune in on Thursdays at 7 Central Standard Time, where Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad has the show Ask Dr. Ava, you know, but she talked about living in the present in one of her books, you know, and it's so important that we have job satisfaction and happiness. I mean, how many people do we know who've gone to work for years and years and they hate their job every day, you know, for 20 and 30 years, you know, and I mean, not to downplay a person's need to work and make a living, but, you know, as we grow and go into the new millennium, you know, this new world, we want some job satisfaction too, some work that we want some heaven. Is that right, Sister Queen Amina?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We're tired of cleaning toilets and, you know, and doing the flunky work. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having your own business cleaning service,
right.
You know,
that's
because
right.
That's real and that's relevant. But right now is a great opportunity, sisters and brothers, a great opportunity to do for self. All we have to have is that desire to do it and not have the fear of stepping out on faith. Now, I'm not saying quit your job tomorrow. No, you
right.
Keep the job and you start the business. And you just work yourself to the point where eventually you can quit the job. You know, and I mean, it's just like someone came on earlier and was saying, I think Sister Marguerite, that right now a lot of the white people have died off and are dying, and the opportunity to do business is just great. You know, we have, it reminds me of the time of when you think about Black Wall Street, you know, and those people were coming up out of slavery, and they pooled their resources together, they worked together, they helped each other, and look at what they've been. But that's the time that we're in right now. We're in that time. Where if we come together in unity and work with each other, help each other, we will rebuild Black Wall Street. Because as we have been taught, this is the time for the black man and woman to separate and for us to do for self and to have our own businesses and to support each other. So look at all the businesses that the white man has. Which one do you want? Because they're not going to be here. So therefore, we need to learn everything that they're doing so that we can run our own businesses and run our own cities and ultimately the world.
That's right. That's beautiful. And as you're saying that, there's another program with the Elevated Places Network, and it's entitled Project Separation. And I know you can go to MinisterAva.com and look up Project Separation, because they do a program every, I think it's the last Tuesday of every month, and they talk about rebuilding the Black Wall Street. And not so much do they talk about it, they actually bring on people who are doing these types of things. And so, you know, this is just going on. You know, Sister Queen Amina, one of the things when we talk about, like, people being afraid that, you know, are just stepping out, and when you determine, okay, we're going to make a business for ourselves, this thing about setting a goal that you can decide what you'll earn. I read an article where someone quoted, and it reminded me of my own life. It was like this person was like, I'm not going to sleep until I've made a certain amount of money, because this person had lost their job and, you know, now their back is up against the wall. And as you step out, you know, I can remember as a young lawyer, it's like, well, as long as I can figure out how to, you know, make money every month, then I'm going to keep doing this. And so now all praises are due to Allah. We're 30 years later, and, you know, we've still been able to not have a job, you know, and working for someone else, you know, per se. So it's a mindset, and don't be afraid of the myths, you know, that there, like, is no security. Because if you do good business, practice good practices, I think communication is so important. That's one of my most important things. Communication is key. You know, talk to your customers, find out what they need, and, you know, give the feedback. That goes a long way.
Yeah. And, you know, in our communities right now, I mean, like I said, in the 60s and 70s, growing up in Detroit, there were black businesses everywhere. You don't see that today. You really don't. Most of our children are growing up, and they're being taught and trained to go to Beverly Hills or go to the prominent white areas, the malls. And they're not really being taught or trained to do for self and to support Black-owned businesses. So this it's a teaching and training that we have to do as well. We have to begin to teach and train the community the importance of doing for self, the importance of shopping Black, and the importance of supporting Black. But as I said, when George Floyd was murdered on TV and the world saw it, I mean, Black people were angry, and they were coming in my store and they were saying, I am not spending a dime in white America. I'm came over here especially to buy Black. You know, so that spirit needs to stay, because we go to sleep real quick. We forget. No, it hasn't changed. Nothing has changed. It's the same. They just, it's more quieter now. They're not talking about it, but I'm sure there's a lot going on in every major city, you know, so it has to be. That's why this is such a great forum, and I'm thankful to Allah that you to be a part to discuss it, because we just have to have these discussions. We just have to talk about what we're doing, why we're doing it, what we should do. We just have to have more discussions so that the word gets out, you know, and our people are very comfortable with understanding of why you should shop Black and why you should open your own business. And if you don't have one, call someone that is in business that can help you, you know, and then yes, we support ma'am. Each other.
Yes, ma'am. So we're actually down to the end of this program, and I think as you're talking, Sister Queen Amina, about the time, you know, there are some pundits that talk about this being the end of the middle class in certain ways, because we see the layoffs, we see the economic downturns, we're seeing, you know, jobs where people would have normally have, now they're having to quit because they don't want to take these shots. And so I think we're at that time where time dictates the agenda, and we will see
yeah.
more businesses and us forming our own communities and our own business operations. So, Sister Barbara, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your wisdom and experience. Did you want to make a closing remark, sis? We're down to about 3 minutes. Did you have anything you want to say in closing?
Not really. I enjoyed the program very well.
We enjoyed you.
Keep on presenting these kind of programs. They're really very beneficial.
All praises are due to Allah. And one thing I want to share about Sister Barbara is how she shared how she's always had an attitude of being optimistic and believing that something can work. And she said once she set her mind to knowing that it could work, there's just no other thing that's going to happen but her completing that goal. And I just love that. And this is where, Sister Queen Amina, you brought your young daughter in, to share with us, because we have to have these cross conversations with our youth, our younger adults as well, and talk to them about some of these experiences that, you know, that we've had. We didn't talk about profitability. We didn't talk about pricing. We didn't talk about wholesaling, you know, but we talked about enough to get it going. The sister called in and she started talking about land and real estate. So there's just so much going on. You know, so thank you again for coming on. Anyone want to email me, you can email me at pamlegal2000@gmail.com. I'd like to thank you all for, again, listening. So what I want to say is thank you all once again for listening to A Time for Justice. To hear previous shows, you can log in. And, again, I'd like to thank the Elevated Places team. That's Sister Minister Dr. Ava Muhammad, Sister Donna Muhammad, Sister Rona Muhammad, Brother Terrence. I'd like to thank my producer, Sister Samaya Muhammad, who is always so very helpful, and she's learning, she's being taught, she's being trained, and she's definitely giving her all to this effort. Thank you all for calling in and listening, and I pray that everyone is, you know, has a productive week, and please tune in next week to listen for more informative discussions. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.